Today, my guest is Jeff Wilcox. Jeff, how are you?
Good. Great to see you again.
Thank you so much for being on my show. What's your job?
I have a lot of jobs.
Your favorite job?
My favorite job. Well, I work on the Azure team, and I work on a lot of different miscellaneous tasks. So you could say that I'm an architect, and I work a lot in a lot of our cross-cutting things. So architecture and reviewing REST APIs and a lot of fun things like that.
Excellent. Let's talk about Azure. Azure is moving at the speed of light right now. It's probably one of the fastest moving product teams in Microsoft and maybe in the industry. What's going on now? What's changing? What's making it better?
Oh, well, lots of people working very hard. And a huge focus is on availability. And so we need to make sure that customers get the experience they're expecting.
Okay.
And tons of people are working on this. And it's a whole lot of fun to be in Azure right now because of all the architectural changes that have happened.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about some of them.
So a big one, we have a product called Service Fabric, and it's out there now in preview. And developers are starting to kind of check it out. And the service essentially lets you build a very highly available service. It could be a stateless service, more like a traditional cloud service, or it can be stateful compute, where data and your application are actually co-located.
Okay.
And so it sounds whiz-bang awesome. It's this great way to build like a modern cloud application. But the truth is, this team has actually been around for a very long time.
Hmm.
And so a lot of Azure itself is powered by Service Fabric.
Oh, Service Fabric was available to the Azure team internally.
Internally.
And now we're just making it available to other folks.
Exactly. And so things like SQL Database and DocumentDB, those are actually built on top of that same technology.
Okay. So help me understand. What does Service Fabric do for me that not having Service Fabric doesn't?
Well, it's kind of like rocket science a little bit.
Okay.
And so a lot of the work we're doing is making it easier for any developer to kind of come up to and make it useful. But the idea is that, like a lot of the traditional distributed systems, there's algorithms out there to replicate data and ensure consistency. And that's all kind of built in at the lower layer in Service Fabric. And so you'll have essentially like a primary node for an application.
Mm-hmm.
And if that were to disappear or the network goes down or something, a secondary can pick up and take that work.
Okay, so redundancy is one big part of it.
A ton of redundancy, yeah.
All right, we've already got redundancy. We've had for a long time redundancy in things like Azure Storage with automatic failovers, sometimes in different regions.
Yeah.
And we had that because of Service Fabric. We just didn't know it.
In a lot of ways, storage actually is a whole different architecture.
Oh, okay.
But Service Fabric itself is something we're using to build a lot of great things now.
All right. So now people can use the Service Fabric. I'm still not a handle on this. I could build applications before without Service Fabric. Now I can build them with it.
Yep.
And they're more reliable because of that? Is that the idea?
That's
fail
the
over
goal.
Better?
Yeah, but you can build different architectures than were possible before.
Okay.
And so one of the good examples is when you look at Azure, the architecture itself, we actually have typically a ton of regions. We have 22 regions right now that are available.
Right.
And we've announced more.
Mm-hmm.
But each of those regions has resource providers. We call them RPs.
Okay.
And they're responsible for kind of orchestrating everything in that data center.
So
if you think about it, when you create a VM, it'll go to the compute resource provider.
All right.
In a location like in Dublin. And it will go ahead and make sure that we know about all the properties and what it should look like. And then we'll replicate that with another data center in Europe using Service Fabric, basically.
Okay.
And so the data is available. So even if something happened, we'd still know all the information about your VM. If you look back a couple years ago, most of that was actually in Texas. And so we had a very different API then. And you'd say that you want a new VM. It would go to Texas, essentially, and it would say, well, I want this VM, and then it would go place it elsewhere.
So that's a problem if something happens in Texas.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, that data center could always fail over to other locations, but not in the way that Service Fabric has helped us build these systems that are basically always available and active.
All right. Are you seeing a reduction in the downtime as a result of this?
Oh, yeah. The teams are working super hard on that.
Okay.
And, we track all sorts of numbers and availability. Yeah.
All right. I know you've been publishing it since pretty prominently on the new portal with when things are up, when they're down. It's,
and
I like
teams,
the transparency. That's gotten better since day one.
Yeah. We like to have the status pages kind of up on monitors throughout the building. And, I know some people have applications on their band. So I actually get a notification if there's a downtime or outage, and
I
get right on it. Yeah.
What else is going on in Azure?
Well, lots of stuff. One of the things that I was really involved in the last year has been kind of working with our open source strategy.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're on GitHub, and we've been on GitHub since 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of some of the early people at Microsoft to actually deal with what does open source mean, how should we publish our things? How should we work with the community?
Right.
And so on GitHub, we actually have thousands of people, over 2,000 engineers right now, that are using GitHub at Microsoft within just Azure. And so it's a huge amount of people.
They're using for their own projects, or are they using for Azure projects?
It's for Azure projects.
Okay.
And so like our SDKs for Node.js, that's up there. And a lot of the work that our Linux teams are doing. And one of the funny problems we had is that it's actually really hard to manage a multi-thousand person organization on GitHub. It's manual. So essentially you'd see an email from some random person at Microsoft and they'd say, gosh, I'd like to be a member of this GitHub organization. Can you add my account? This is my username. I'm Joe12345.
Right.
And it turns out, it's really hard to manage that because GitHub's a whole different separate system.
Sure.
So I actually helped build a portal that we use, and the portal itself is open source now. But it's called the Azure Open Source Portal for GitHub. Very exciting name.
We do a lot of things right, but I'm not sure we name products really well.
Yeah. Well, it's just a tool. It's a utility, but we basically use Azure to connect to Microsoft and GitHub.
That is very cool. I mean, that's a reflection, I think, of what's the changes that happened in Microsoft over the last 5 years in terms of our relationship with the open source community, which has just grown phenomenally, in my opinion.
So, I can tell you about the architecture. So, it's a really simple application. It's written in Node.js, and it's deployed with Azure App Service, which we used to call websites.
Right.
And it's a portal app. It's using Express and a lot of these common modules for Node. Mm-hmm. One's called Passport. And the Passport module lets you, hook in an identity.
This isn't the old Microsoft Passport, is it?
No, it's not. It's not Microsoft account and all that. But basically, with the Passport module, I have one for GitHub, and then one for Azure Active Directory.
Okay.
And so you kind of go to the site, you sign in with GitHub, we figure out what your GitHub username is and all that good stuff, and then we figure out, we have you go to Microsoft IT and sign in as an employee.
Okay.
And then we can say, well, your GitHub username is that employee, and so we can actually automatically give you access then.
Oh, nice.
And so it's kind of self-service. You can request repos. You can do management operations and all that. So that's, Active Directory, App Service. We're using, of course, storage and Redis cache. All sorts of, pieces just kind of fit together and give us that experience.
That's very cool. Are the pieces of Azure fitting together more today than they used to?
I hope so.
Yeah.
One of
so
my,
do I.
I think if you look at the portal now, everything's in one place for the most part.
Yeah.
And the new portal, it's nice because you can actually pin things and kind of work across your different projects. And one of the things behind all this is that we're working towards more consistent APIs.
Okay.
And so one of my jobs is actually to sit on our REST review board. And so if you're a service at Microsoft and you want to ship a new Azure service, there's a huge amount of steps, compliance and security. And one of those is coming to the REST review board. And a bunch of us sit in a room with subject matter experts on REST APIs. Hmm. And we kind of sit there, we have guidelines, and we make sure teams are trying to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide feedback, and it's kind of a back and forth process. And in the end, we hope that our APIs are more consistent as a result.
Do APIs in the Azure Marketplace have to go through that review as well?
Well, Marketplace is a little different.
Yeah,
because, of course, if you're a third party, you can use whatever APIs you need for your data plan and everything. But
very cool. What else? Tell me about, you're telling about just the structure of the team. You guys are moving to a more open environment. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, we are. So right now, a lot of our team's in Building 42.
Uh-huh.
And I've been there for 10 years, it feels like.
42 makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's
because of the Douglas Adams reference.
Yeah. So that building, it's fun, it's awesome. I have a private office today. Uh-huh. And a lot of Microsoft employees do.
And a couple years ago, you're losing that, aren't you?
Well, I am. But I was in a different building, a different part of Azure. Went to OpenSpace a few years ago.
Okay.
And so I've had that experience too. It's really great as a manager, because you can actually get the team together, have a good conversation, and I think the culture is evolving. So we're moving to the building across the street we've been working on, and I got to tour it a few days ago. It looks awesome.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like a cubicle farm like people are worried about.
Hmm.
You have a couple desks in a room, and then you have team neighborhood space, we call it. And so you have a conference room just for your team. You have little focus rooms, and you don't have to worry about scheduling these things. It's just really nice.
That is. There's a lot of people on the Azure team. I'm sure it's grown all.
Yeah. Depending on how you count, it's thousands of people.
And they'll all be in the same building?
Oh, I think the building we're moving to has maybe 700 people in it.
Wow.
And we're excited because right now we're kind of spread apart on campus, and
some
buildings are harder to park in than others, and so getting people in one place will just help us a lot.
Excellent. Let's talk a little bit more about open source. Some of the open source story on Azure.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, I mean, anything you have, we'd love to be able to use.
Yeah.
We really, we're super open. So whether you have a Linux VM, Windows VM, you know, we don't play the traditional Microsoft card here. We want to make sure we can run your workload. And I spend a ton of my time in Node.js just because it's fun, it's easy, JavaScript's great. And so, you know, that's an awesome part as a customer of Azure, is being able to deploy apps is just quick and easy. But if I look inside Azure itself, you know, we're using open source technology too. And, you know, the big one is Git. You know, everyone is, you know, a lot of people are moving to Git. And inside Microsoft, so many teams have. Inside Azure, we're using it just exhaustively right now.
Right.
And it's awesome because, you know, if you go to a new hire, you know, brand new, it used to be at Microsoft, you spent weeks learning the Microsoft tools, the Microsoft commands, and now, you know, we are hiring people that they already know Git. Mm-hmm. So their first day, they're productive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the truth is people in their careers sometimes leave Microsoft too.
What?
And if you chose to do that,
really?
You know, you'd know Git. And so you have these skills that actually, you know, they're useful in the industry outside of just Microsoft.
So. I would argue that maybe doing Azure might be useful in the industry outside of this company. But
So I think, you know, the reality is like we're using these tools internally, we're learning a lot, and I think we're being much more agile as a result.
Very cool. Sounds like a lot of cool stuff is happening in Azure right now. There's Azure teams blogging about this, aren't they?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Where's that?
It's just up at blog.azure.com. And also you can, of course, follow on Twitter. There's Azure. And then we also have a Twitter handle called Azure Support that I recommend people use.
Jeff, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And thank you for watching Technology and Friends.